It's been a lot to take in from the outside, and that's to say nothing of the men who put the game on the weekends. Jack Riewoldt is part of our family on Players Night, has been for a long time. To Adam Treloar and to Eddie Betts, we welcome Max Scorn. Max, great to have you as part of the 360 family.
Thanks for having me. I didn't think I'd be on this early, but might be my last appearance.
Yes, who's to say,
one
Jack? It's
done.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
One and done.
Better to have you in here than the
welcome,
sterile
Max.
Nature of elsewhere. What was Sunday like, Max, when you ran out and you knew that this was it for footy for the time being and playing that game and then getting to the emptiness of a final siren?
Yeah, so our game was probably the most unique out of the lot because although the Hawthorn game was would have been interesting going into the rooms afterwards without knowing, but getting told sort of an hour before you get on the bus to go to the ground, very unique. But you could sense everyone still wanted to play within our hotel room, so I just put that message across as much as we can that it's a round one game. We've got two guys debuting their first time in the Melbourne jumper, another three guys playing their first game for Melbourne. So there was still a lot to play for, and I tried to push that message as much as possible. But once the final siren went, you could almost sense that drop into the shoulders, and it's almost a round 23 feel. I'm not sure. Well, yours probably would be a little bit different because you didn't know, but it was almost like a round 23 feel.
Yes, is that an emptiness and a, I don't know whether it's desolation or whatever it is, but certainly the how tangible was the sense in that moment of the unknown?
Yeah, it was. I mean, even with the West Coast guys talking to them straight after the game, they didn't seem extremely over the top with their win. I think everyone knew that not just AFL, but community-wide, we're suffering something bigger than football. So that was the overall feeling. Then obviously we had a bus and a red-eye flight and got back to Melbourne at 5 a.m. and it was a pretty different weekend. I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
Before we talk about the pay discussions, what's it like being in a football club when basically everyone's there to help you guys and then you learn that the club has to sack or stand down 80% of staff? What is that like within a football club, Max and Jack?
Well, it's a family. You spend every minute of the day throughout winter with these guys and throughout summer as well, majority of it. And majority of the staff are there to purely help you play your best football and have your best life. The amount of people that are there from a life point of view in terms of mental health, player development managers. So there is a lot going on and I'm not at the forefront to be able to see what's going on as well. We get told stuff and we're away from the club and we're unseen on our future. I mean, no one knows if what's going to happen in 2 months' time, 3 months' time, 4 months' time. So it's an interesting state of affairs. It's definitely one that I didn't wish to be my first year as captain. It's a role that I've sort of been forced into and... not forced into to be the captain, but forced into this sort of role and learning quickly.
What about staff, Jack? You're a people's person.
Oh, yeah, it's devastating. I honestly don't know. The hard thing for us to as a family, as a Richmond family, to swallow is that we've been in the doldrums for a long time, and we've done so many good things over the last 5-6 years, and gone and got pieces to our puzzle. And the puzzle isn't just the players and the coaching staff and the fitness staff. It's every single person that works at our football club, whether it's in administration, in membership. We've gone and got these pieces, and to have the majority of them be told that they've got nothing to go home to, basically, for the next 10 weeks, maybe never. It's bloody hard. You get emotional about it. I've got some great friends that work up in the administration area, that are really good friends to me and Carly, and it's one part of me being the person I am as a player I really pride myself on, is that I've got great relationships with every aspect of the football club.
How do you marry that when you're having discussion with your players and your peers around the competition about the current pay? Does that come into the thinking, or does it not come into the thinking, or do you have to keep it separate?
I suppose it's just an emotional roller coaster, really, because they are two different businesses a little bit. Is that we're paid by the AFL through the AFLPA, yeah. and the club obviously looks after the administration staff, but yeah, sometimes you don't have an answer for those sort of things. Like it is a really delicate tightrope, and I spoke to Stephen Hocking before the game on Thursday night, and I said to him, I think this could, it's a really pivotal moment for the AFL community, because at the moment there's some rumblings, and I think that there's some media that are really trying to drive a wedge between the AFL and the AFLPA. We're basically what we're doing is we're trying to collectively negotiate a CBA, which you look at the last CBA negotiations went for nearly a year and a half. We're trying to do that in a week. So there's so many intricacies to it. And I'm of the firm belief that I think that we will come out of this as a whole industry as a bit tighter. I think early on everyone sort of goes into a little bit of survival mode for themselves, and then they start to see where it is actually directly affecting other people and people that they care and they love about, and then they start to release themselves a little bit and start to go, well hang on, maybe my stance on this early on wasn't the right thing to do, wasn't the right thing at the time. Information's been a little bit scarce, and I think for us it's just as I said last week, a lot of this stuff's been done on the fly, and it's really hard to do.
Max, what's your position on the pay of the players?
I stand pretty close to Jack with that. well, 1.5 metres away from him, but it's all happening very, very quickly. The amount of emergency meetings that the players have had, the clubs had, the AFLPA's had, the AFL's had, all in this sort of week. I don't think we're going to get what everybody wants at this stage. The way I see it is, what can you do now? What can we do now? What can the AFL community do now? And it's, we need the AFL back. We need it to get as back as quickly as possible. And the way to do that is to role model the right behaviours. So that's the messaging that I'm doing to the players. We can't handle what the club do with the administration and the footy admin part. As much as we want to help, the best thing we need to do is to self-isolate at home, continue to do our training, and try and get this season back going June 1. Because there's players that are genuinely worried about their livelihoods as well. There'd be, I'm not sure, but 15 to 20 players at each club that are probably going payslip to payslip. And 2 months, 3 months, 4 months of whatever pay it is, but it's decreased. There's some genuine issues there as well. So,
there's a lot of people in life going payslip.
Yeah, correct.
Payslip. So, Jack, you're both right. This is a football thing, but it's a life thing at the moment.
Oh, it's a whole Australia.
Yeah, and we're all
on the players.
Yeah, and we're all thinking about our lives. And you're right. You suddenly start thinking, but then you spread your thing. So yesterday, it's been revealed that you'll take a 50% pay cut, and then May, then we'll just discuss what's going on from there. That news has caused discussion, criticism. Led by Lee Matthews, the great player, the AFLPA, most valuable player award named after, is really angry with the players. What can you say to people who are angry with you? Have they got the wrong perception? Or can you understand why there is a little bit of grief directed at the players?
I don't think I could sit here and say one thing that would make everyone happy. That's the crux of it for mine. I was really disappointed about what Lee Matthews said. Disillusioned in the current playing list. And, like, we've only got to go back maybe, 3 weeks ago, and 45 to 50 of the best players of the game put their hand up and said, we will help Australia raise $8 million and put our bodies on the line, which we go out and do for a job, and we love doing it, but we will do that. For what we want to do, we want to be a part of helping people that have been through bushfires. So for an AFL grade of the game to say that about the current playing list, I think is really disappointing. And Lee has a strong opinion and a well heard voice. So
yeah,
I thought that was maybe a bit irresponsible. It's hard. We aren't going to please everyone. I think the position that the PA is taking, which is, look, we've been given the 10 weeks to say, look, this is when the game, we're looking at trying to get the game back up and going. Any negotiations further on that need to be done when we actually know where the game's going to be going. So at the moment, we've put a position to and something to the AFL that says, look, let's reevaluate in 10 weeks' time, probably 6 weeks' time, I think, because we'll know what's
when
going on with,
back,
the, yep. with the COVID-19. But people shouldn't be under any illusion that we're going to go, no, we want to be paid fully then. If the game isn't going, we understand that there is a massive role for the players to take here if the game doesn't get up and going again this year. There'll be plenty of other cuts. We may see lists cut. We may see players' jobs lost. So we totally understand that. But at the moment, it's the, let's just take a breath. We've got till June 1. Let's make a decision then.
One last question for me on this. We had a fight last week. We've never had a fight in our life. And we had a fight on live TV. It's the first time we've spoken this week. It was really tense last week. You know, and you weren't happy with what I wrote and what I said. If you could rewind a week, not just you, but the Players Association, if you could rewind a week, do you think it would have been more advantageous if the players come out and said, you know what, this is a really challenging period. We will do what we can do. We will meet with the AFL. We understand that we're going to have to take pay cut. And come out a little bit combative. No, we want 22 games. We don't want 17. If you had your time again, do you think the Players Association could have handled it a little bit better, a little bit differently?
No, I don't, because if we were playing 22 games, this is the point, is that you think that we wanted to play 22 games because we want all of our pay.
And not all your pay. No, I don't have another fight with you. I didn't say all your pay. I said there's a major... And it's OK to admit it, because the AFL is in trouble right now and they wanted to play games for money, because money makes this world go around. So the players have got to actually put their hand up and say, yeah, it is about money. Because it's about money with me, it's about money with Jared, because that's what makes the world go around. And for the Players Association to come out and say, that was not about money, oh, come on, Paul Marsh, please.
In no way did we say it wasn't about money. It's a direct correlation.
Your boss did, Paul Marsh, said it wasn't about money.
$50 to $100 million around is lost when we don't play footy. If we play five less rounds, let's say $250 million, they're the jobs that are being cut now. So we're not saying, look, we definitely want to play this. And we're saying, if you need us to play 22 games in a shortened time, we're happy to do it because we don't want jobs to be lost. It's a pretty simple equation. It's more games, more money, more people have jobs.
Okay.
All right. We want to talk about the game, and we'll do that next, as you're both out on the field in bizarre circumstances. Jack Riewoldt and Max Gawn with us.